Hi there, and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist. I am Wendy Taylor, and if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We dive into topics that help parents like you navigate the world of special education with confidence. Today's topic is something that many parents ask me about. How do I request a 504 plan for my kiddo? Whether you've heard about a 504 plan, aren't sure where to start, or you're feeling a little bit lost in the process, don't worry, I've got you covered. So in this episode, we're going to walk through the exact steps you need to formally request a 504 plan, what kind of documentation you're going to need, how to make sure your request doesn't get lost in that shuffle, and what to expect along the way. And I've even got a few tips to make sure everything runs smoothly on your end, because who doesn't love a good life hack? Right? So let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Learning Essentials and our Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility course. Empower your advocacy, erase confusion, and unlock the services your kiddo deserves. Learn more at learningessentialsedu.com. I do want to mention, I know if you're confused, because we'd always talk about special ed, doing some solos here, honing in on 504 so that you can really understand the difference between both an IEP and a 504. So what exactly is a 504 plan? Let's break it down in a way that makes sense. A 504 plan is like a customized support plan for your kiddo in school. It's designed to make sure kids with disabilities or certain health conditions get the accommodations that they need to have the same chance to learn as everyone else. These accommodations could be a small change in how your kiddo's classroom or day is set up, things like extra time on test, being allowed to use the computer for writing, or even sitting closer to the teacher to help with focus. The goal is to remove any barriers your kiddo might face in school so that they have the opportunity to thrive. So now let's talk about a step-by-step. Getting a 504 plan does sound a bit formal, but it doesn't have to be scary. It certainly doesn't have to be confusing. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you're going to have it all cleared up as to which direction to go into. So first thing I want you to do is gather your paperwork, aka proof. So before you request that 504 plan, I want you to gather up any paperwork that shows your kiddo has a condition that makes school harder for them. So it could be a doctor's note or a medical report. For example, if your kiddo has ADHD, asthma, or a chronic illness, evaluation results from a therapist, a psychologist, if your kiddo has a learning difference or struggles with anxiety. I know that sounds like a lot, but just kind of get that framework set up. Kind of where is the evidence that there is something that's impacting your kiddo's day from bell to bell? So you don't need a mountain of documents, just something clear that shows your kiddo's condition and how it affects their learning or participation in school. Next, you need to submit a written request for a 504 evaluation. You can send this to your school's principal or a 504 coordinator. If you're not sure who that is, just ask the front office and they're going to point you in the right direction. Sometimes it can be a guidance counselor. Sometimes it's some sort of specialist in the building. So I would just ask and make sure that you're directing your letter to the right person. Always include the principal. If it's not the guidance counselor, include the guidance counselor as well, your classroom teacher. So everybody is on the same page. So for example, all you're going to write is, "Dear so-and-so, I'm writing to request a 504 evaluation for my child who is in whatever grade. They've been diagnosed with this condition and it impacts their ability to," and you're going to describe the specific issues in school. "I've included medical documentation to support this request. I'd like to meet to discuss how we can help your kiddo's name succeed. Let me know when we can schedule a meeting. You know, thank you for your time consideration." The goal here in this is to be clear, polite, and specific. Don't worry about using legal terms. Just focus on advocating for your baby, for your kiddo. And then you're going to follow up like a pro. So after you send the letter, again, it is a letter, it can be an email, but it needs to be something in writing and in documentation. Not a phone call, not a hello in the hallway. It has to be formal in writing. So you're going to follow up if you don't hear back in a week or two. So we know schools get busy. Sometimes things get overlooked. A quick, friendly follow-up email goes a long way. So you could say something like, "Hi, The person you addressed it to wanted to check in about my request for a 504 plan evaluation for my kiddo. Looking forward to discussing ways we can support their needs in school. Thanks again for your help. Now let's talk about the meeting you'll have after your request. So once the school agrees to evaluate your child, they're going to invite you to a meeting with a team of people. So it's going to be teachers, counselors, sometimes a school psychologist, but not always in a 504 case. And this is the meeting where you're going to work together to figure out the specific accommodations that your kiddo needs. So don't be afraid to ask questions or suggest ideas. You know your kiddo the best, and your input is super important. Here's a few things to keep in mind. I want you to be specific. So if your child struggles with taking notes, ask if they can get a copy of the teacher's notes or use a computer to type. We also have to keep it realistic, right? So make sure the accommodations you're asking for are things that the school can actually do. So if it sounds too good to be true, there is a saying for that, right? So it may or may not happen. But you can also be very creative in your approach, be very clear in what you're requesting. And if it is something that a teacher and somebody can easily implement, make sure you help guide them, right? So nobody is confused on that. Always bring somebody with you, whether it's your partner, a friend, an advocate, your neighbor, your auntie, your sister. So you have somebody by your side that can be really helpful. They can take notes, remind to ask certain questions, and they can just really just be a presence next to you as you're trying to navigate this advocacy component for your baby. After the meeting, the 504 plan will be put into action, but that doesn't mean that you as a parent, your role is going to end there. You're going to want to check in to make sure that it's actually being followed. And I know some of you are thinking, well, it's there. It should be followed. Of course, it is a legal document. It should be. It doesn't mean that always happens to the plan that we want it to take place, right? So always talk to your teacher regularly, quick check-ins every few weeks, you know, every week, just to stay in the loop, let them know how things are going on your end. If you're starting a new medication, if medications are changing, home life changes. So all of these things are important to communicate to the team that's supporting your kiddo. Ask how the accommodations are working and also ask your kiddo. They're going to be at a certain age where they can start advocating for themselves, and having those conversations may be really helpful for empowering your child to what accommodations work. Why are they there? And what is the purpose of them, right? And then you also want to figure out if there's any challenges. So if it's a challenge that your student personally foresees or the teacher that's supporting the student, that way you can be creative and coming to the table with a way to solve whatever challenge maybe that you're facing. So always keep a copy of that 504 plan along with any of the emails, the notes from the meetings in that super folder, whether it's an electronic folder or a physical folder. So you always have everything in one place in the event that you need to reference it. So sometimes things don't work out exactly as planned, right? And that's okay. So if something isn't working for your child, for your kiddo, request a meeting to update that plan. So the key is to be proactive and always keep that communication open. And don't forget, the 504 plan needs to be reviewed every year. If your kiddo needs to change or if the accommodations aren't working, the school is required to meet with you to make those adjustments. Before we wrap up, I want to share a few extra tips that can help make this process a little bit easier. So again, document everything. I say this thing with IEPs. I'm saying the same thing with 504. When you request a meeting or a follow-up with the school, do it in writing, even if it's quick email. It helps keep everyone on that same page. Don't be afraid to ask for outside help. If you're feeling stuck or overwhelmed, consider even reaching out to a special education advocate, an IEP coach, a special education person, teacher, so that you can really help kind of navigate this process and really understanding the difference again between a 504 and an IEP, so that you're understanding which one to pursue as the best support for your kiddo. They can certainly help you navigate that process and to help you be empowered to speak up for your kiddo's needs. So always involve your student, your kiddo, depending on their age, talk to them about their 504 plan, what accommodations are in place, so that again, we can empower them to speak up and to let somebody know if things aren't working. So either you as the parent or the classroom teacher, really make sure that those accommodations are in place and everything is working to the degree that it's supposed to. So requesting a 504 plan, it may feel like a big task. I know We're overwhelmed. We have a lot going on, right? We're constantly juggling as a family. But remember, you are your kiddo's best advocate. By taking these first steps, gathering your documentation, submitting that request, following through, you're ensuring that your kiddo's getting the support that they need. So thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Special Ed Strategist. If you found this episode helpful, don't forget to subscribe and share it with other parents who might need this information. And as always, if you have any questions or need extra resources, head to our website, connect with us on social media. I've also shared a few links for resources in our show notes. You've got this. Until next time, take care and keep advocating. Today's episode is brought to you by Learning Essentials and our Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility course. Empower your advocacy, erase confusion, and unlock the services your kiddo deserves. Learn more at learningessentialsedu.com.